So, yeah, if you don't know me, yeah, I'm on staff here and I'm really happy to be with you all and have been looking forward to this. And as I was thinking about what to share, I just want to share what God is stirring in my own heart in this new year, like what he's doing in me. And I want to invite you into that because I think it has a lot of relevance for early parenting, this life stage. So if you don't know me, my girls are, we have, as you heard, three girls. They're 8, 6, and 4, and yes, they all have the same birthday. Our first had a due date on July 21st. She came on her due date. Our second had a due date on July 21st. She came on her due date. And our third had a due date of like July 26th, and she came 5 days early on July 21st. So that will be how I go down in history, I think, if at all. So, I'm right in the thick of this. I think with our youngest at 4, I feel like the fog is just starting to lift. It's like, oh, I can see again, like, and some of you are probably still in the fog and you're going to choose to go back into the fog because you're going to have more kids. So, God has been doing I think for me, a significant kind of thing in me, that I want to share with you and I want to invite you into it. There's a book in our staff. So some of our, leaders are here and they are going through this. So there's a book called Union with Christ that I read like a year ago. And we've been walking through that as a staff, different parts of it. And it has to do with some of the things that have been coming from that book for me and connecting with things I've been thinking about a lot in my life. So that's kind of what I want to just walk you through what's going on in me and give you some really, hopefully, very practical, like daily things that you might want to try that hopefully. It's sort of like just close the door. These are going to be like close the door and beautiful things can happen sometimes. Let's see. I don't know how this works. Oh, look at that. Prayer prompts. Keep going. Okay. So, let me get out my notes here. Pick this out. Okay. So can we just talk about early parenting for a moment? I want to say two things about parenting. The first is it is such a gift, isn't it? Kids are such a gift. This morning I woke up, our oldest Adele, I was sitting in a chair by a desk reading, and she came over and just sat in my lap, and we just kind of, she sat in my lap for 5 minutes, my 8-year-old, and we were pretty much quiet most of the time, and I was rubbing her back and just sitting there, and I was like, what a beautiful, this beautiful creature just walked into this room and sat on my lap. And it's such a beautiful season. I have not laughed more than in the last 8 years. I mean, like every day someone says something so ridiculous, right? Just so hysterical. And I've been getting in trouble lately for laughing at my kids, especially when they start crying and then I laugh harder. That's not been good, especially, yeah. So that's, but like there are gifts. There are 1,000 gifts every single day with these little ones. If we have eyes to see it, right? Sometimes our eyes are closed, so it's hard to see it because we're so tired. But it's such a gift. What I want to focus on today is also the challenge of parenting. And I think you, Melissa, you pretty much laid it out pretty great. I mean, that's the reality. There's some quotes that I thought helped kind of capture for me what the challenge is. And I was thinking this week of myself, but I was also thinking of my wife and her experience, which is, of course, your all's experience as moms in those early years. And so I was just thinking, I didn't ask her about any of this, so. But I just, my experience of her, and then my own experience in the last 8 years, some of the challenges. So I had some quotes that capture it for me. I've heard this phrase here, the years are short, but the days are long. And I'm like, that is so true. Like Adele will be 9 in July, which means she's halfway, right? Like halfway to graduation. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no way that my oldest is already halfway out of the house. It's so fast, but the days are so long. They're so long. And I mean, I can remember, especially in the early times, like I'd get home and I'd look at the clock, like at 6 p.m., I'd look at the clock every 5 minutes. Are you serious? It's only 6:03? Are you serious? Like it's only 6:07. Oh my gosh, just waiting for like 7, right? So we can put these kids to bed. And it's just such long days. The years are short, but the days are long. That captures it for me for sure. When was the last time I heard thank you, right? I mean, mothering is one of these thankless tasks. And you are giving yourself every day. You are putting someone or many people ahead of yourself every day, and you rarely hear thank you unless you ask them to say thank you, you know? And that's hard. It's just hard to have that kind of thankless service day in, day out, week in, week out. So this is, I'm getting a C- all around. So this is my wife's explanation. She's like, before kids, there were certain things that I could just nail. Like, I thought I did great at my work. She's a counselor. I loved that. It provided so much meaning. I thought I did a good job. I got lots of affirmation there. I thought our marriage was thriving. And now I feel like I'm not doing great at anything, right? Like, I'm an okay mom. I'm an okay spouse. I'm kind of a bad friend. I'm a bad Christian, maybe C- all around. Like, I'm just kind of making it through everything. It's maybe a passing grade, you know, all around, but there's no A pluses anymore. I have no A pluses in my life. And I think dads can relate to that too. That performance gene in us that wants to just nail things, that gets really hard. With parenting. The minute we think we've nailed parenting, then something happens. We realize, oh, that actually wasn't our good parenting. That was just dumb luck, you know? And then of course you've got, the comparison game. I'm sick of the comparison game that I think we naturally do in life, can just go on. Child rearing is just one more context for comparisons, right? From the very beginning, oh, their breastfeeding is going great, or their kid's starting to walk, or their kid's starting to read, or they're thriving, and you can obviously go on your social media feeds and see these awesome families having great vacations and all of this. And so parenting is just one more place where that insecurity, that jealousy can kind of pop up, and then we post our great photos that makes the next person feel jealous and insecure too, and the game just goes on. But it's just one more place, I think, where it's easy to bring that. We bring that to all of life, but I think parenting is just another place to do it. And then this one, I think, this is especially the mother's experience. Where did I go? And what I mean by that is parenting is this massive identity crisis. At least it was for my wife. As she thought about having kids, that created a lot in her of like, I love what I'm getting to do at my work. And so our plan was for her to be home full time with the kids. And so she had to pre-process that a lot. And she was like, I don't know. I mean, I want to have kids, but I don't know what that's going to be. I like what I get to do here. And again, the affirmation I get, and I'm just going to lose that and be home most of the day. And where will I be in the mundaneness of that? And then now that she is a mom, she has taken all of that passion and thrown it into the kids. And so now the identity crisis is, where am I when I'm not with the kids? Who am I when I'm not with the kids? So when we go out on dates, you know, the kids are a real obvious topic of conversation. When we try to go on vacations, that's hard. Without the kids, that's hard to do. So I think the identity thing can play out in so many different ways, either in parenting or outside of parenting. So all of this, there's so many challenges. And I just wanted to, I'm going to read some poems to you today. This could be a little risky here, but I came across this collection of poems. It's called Love Poems for Parents, or People with Children. And most of them are wildly inappropriate, honestly, but there's a couple of them that I thought they capture. Don't go looking for it online, is all that to say. I've edited and scoured them for the good ones. I think they capture the gift and challenging of parenting. I feel like, Melissa, what you just offered your own poem of the gift and challenge of parenting, but I'm going to give you a couple poems. So this first one, I believe, is written by a father to his two kids. It's called For Lulu and Hewitt. No offense to either of you, but I preferred the idea of kids to actual kids. Who needs kids of their own when you have 9 nieces and nephews? You get to be an uncle for a while. Then you get to go home alone and sleep. I blame your mother and her beautiful face and deeply kind spirit and her perfect answer to why she wanted children. Because I'm tired of worrying about myself. I want to worry about someone else. Can I tell you a secret? I was afraid. I was afraid I wouldn't be good enough. Too moody, too needy, too impatient, too selfish, too lacking. But then you were born, and you told me a secret. "Dad," you whispered, "all you have to do is watch me and listen to me and take my hand. I'll teach you how to be a father." Then you spit up on my shirt. Every night before you go to sleep, I lean down and whisper the same sentence. In a lifetime of questions and confusion, they are the truest words I know. I am so lucky to be your dad. Isn't that beautiful? Captures just the gift and the challenge of parenting. Here's another one. This one really captures the challenge. This is called Baby Wipes. I think this one is, I'm assuming this is written by a mom who also works outside of the home. If you had told me in my 20s that I would do this, I would have not believed you. But this morning, the baby's poop shot out like a cannonball, and some of it landed in my hair. Well, I was pretty tired and I guess too lazy to shower, and I was late for work. So what I did was take a baby wipe and clean it out of my hair. Most of it, anyway. Then I went on with my day. It's so tender, isn't it? One more. I think this captures the... turns out that early childhood is not the easiest thing on marriages. You may have heard that from other people. This one captures the dynamic of a marriage. This one's entitled, "A Mile from the House, You Asked If We Packed the Sunscreen." Really? That's your question? Did we pack the sunscreen? Yep, we did. How to express how that makes me feel, since while I packed the sunscreen and the bug spray and the sandwiches and the drinks, you sat on the couch in your underwear and stared at your phone. I look at you searching for the right response. But then you ask what I think is a pretty great question. And where are the children right now? The gift and challenge of parenting. So here's what I want to do this morning. In the midst of that dynamic that all of us in this room understand and recognize, I want to invite you into a question, this basic question. What is the gospel? And I wonder if, like, I gave you, we're not going to take the time, but if I gave you 5 minutes just to ask that question, what's the gospel? What's the good news? How you would answer that question together. And I imagine something about forgiveness would be in there for sure. Something about maybe the cross, something about eternal life. Hopefully those things would be in there. But I guess the question I'm asking today is, what is the gospel at 2:30 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon? When the kids are fighting, when the house is a disaster, right? When you're having to do work and manage kids, when you're just wanting to put on something on the TV and take a nap. Like, what is the gospel in that, in the ordinary moments of our days? And here's what I've been exploring that I want to invite you into as an answer to that question. The gospel is union with Jesus. Meaning, the gospel is that God sent his son, Jesus, and you have an opportunity to be united to God's son. That the person of Jesus, who he is, that you can live in this dynamic relationship with him every moment of the day. And that is such good news because he's the greatest person ever in the universe, because he is full of joy and he's full of grace and forgiveness and he's full of kindness and he's full of wisdom and he's full of courage. And he's just the most amazing being in the universe. And so the gospel is you can be connected with him like a branch is connected with a vine. You can live in relationship with him as you would with a spouse. And every other benefit that we have of the gospel, we could answer so many, you know, we could talk about so many benefits that we have that come from the gospel, like forgiveness and freedom, Holy Spirit, eternal life, all of that. But all of that comes because we are connected to Jesus. That's how we receive the gospel, is by putting our faith in him and being connected with him. And so I want to kind of explore today a little bit, what does it mean when it's in the Bible says that we are in Christ and Christ is in us? What does union with Jesus look like? And how can that actually shape my Tuesday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. Or whenever? So let's do this. I want to, if you would, let's look at your handouts here. I've got some passages that talk about our union with Christ. And I'll just, the first one, I just want to walk through these a little bit, and hopefully you guys can just hear these. Most of these, I would imagine, will be familiar to most of you. But I want to kind of just try to get inside of these and draw out some implications. Colossians 3, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And here's the verse. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul is saying, when you become a believer, in some sense, you died. The independent you is dead. You've been crucified with Christ, is what Paul will say later down in the end of this. And you are now found in Jesus. Your independent self is died, it is surrendered, it is given up, and you are now connected to the person of Jesus. He is now your life. So here's what I want to just kind of walk you through. Union with Christ, this is all from this book, means two things. It means that you are now in Christ, and Christ is now in you. Okay, and I just want to talk through both of those. And I want to talk about the first one. What this means is you are now in Christ. And for me, growing up in the church, what I heard is, I always heard Jesus is in me, right? Like I prayed a prayer to accept Jesus into my heart. So now somehow Jesus is inside of me, which I think there's a truth to that. But actually, the much more common biblical way of talking is, no, you are now in Christ. That's by far more common in the New Testament than the other. So I just want to talk about what it means to be in Christ. Let me read you these verses, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's that phrase, in Christ, she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, there's that phrase, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So there's this idea that somehow by putting my faith in Jesus, I am now found in Jesus and I'm a new creation. And now I am called the righteousness of God because I am in Jesus, who is the righteousness of God. Okay? Look at Ephesians 1. Here's a famous verse, but I'll bet you've not seen how many times it says in Christ. So I underlined them for you. Let me read this out loud. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Okay, that's a mouthful, I know. But Paul is just telling you all these benefits that we have. We are adopted as God's children. We are chosen by him. We are forgiven. We have the forgiveness of sins. We're given his spirit. And all of that happens because we are in his son. His son has all of those blessings, and since we're in his son, we receive those too by way of being in him through faith. So let me just kind of give you some pictures here. Here's a picture many of you have seen on a Sunday morning if you are here on Sundays. This is this picture of Jesus at his baptism. And I love this. He's coming out of the water, and in the Gospels, they tell us that as he came out of the water, a voice from heaven spoke, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And God the Father sees his son. He says, you're my son. I love you. I'm well pleased with you. And so it's this affirmation from the Father to the Son of total delight and pleasure and joy and approval. And it's before Jesus has done any of his public ministry. This is what launches him into his public ministry. So he hasn't performed in any way. He hasn't done any miracles or converted people. He's just his dad's son. And his dad just loves his son more than anything in the universe. That's the Jesus status with his father. And the gospel is, you are now united to that person, Jesus. And so you are found in him. So all the love and approval and joy and delight that the Father has in Jesus, he now has in us, because he sees us as being in his Son. So here's an analogy again. Some of you have seen this on a Sunday. Here's the analogy. My wife just went to Disneyland yesterday, actually, which I haven't been for years. But so in this book, he tells a story of a young woman. She's a single woman in her early 20s, and she was just going through like classic early 20s identity crisis. She was depressed. She was insecure. Life was just really hard. She had a tough upbringing, and so life was super hard. But she got a job working at Disneyland as one of the characters. And so she was Mickey at times. And so she started having this experience of what it's like to be in Mickey. And she would walk around the theme park, and people would come up to her, you know, with joy, and these kids would come up all excited, and parents, of course, would give her a high five. And, like, she just received all this affirmation and approval and joy because she was in Mickey. And everything that comes with being Mickey was hers because she was in Mickey. And that's the analogy of what the gospel is that we are now in Christ, and everything that the Father feels about Jesus and expresses towards him, we now get to receive because we are in his Son. And there's such freedom in that. So, I mean, just to think about, I don't know, should I keep this image up or not? going back to the challenges of parenting. You think about like all the self-critical voices of performance that go on in our hearts and minds as parents, right? So I just yelled at my kids, right? I had a disaster of a day as a mom. Let's just say, it is in those moments to remind ourselves, yeah, but I'm in Christ. Like my performance is guaranteed. Already my grade, whatever you want to say, is guaranteed because I am in him. And when the Father sees me, he sees me with all the perfection and goodness and righteousness of Jesus. No matter what my performance today was, my grade is entirely secure. Or you think about your identity, you know, when our identity gets wrapped up with our kids. This is what I see, I think, is the classic, especially for moms, more so than dads, but for both. And when your kid says something like, I hate you, mom, you know, I don't want you to be your, I mean, the kids say the meanest things to them. I want a different mom. Like, who says that to a human being, right? And I'll just say for a dad, for me, that's kind of like, bump, bump. You're like, whatever, get to bed. You know, I mean, that doesn't get inside of me. At all. I mean, I feel it, but it doesn't get inside of me. I 5 minutes later, I forgot it happened. My wife, that just gets inside of her soul, you know, and taps into all sorts of deep things of identity. And so in those moments, what does it mean to go, no, 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 I am in Christ. My identity is secure. I am loved. I am approved of. I am in Christ. That's who I am. I'm not a mom, first and foremost. I am in Christ. Or the comparison game, right? As you're watching, you see photos of your friends doing awesome things with their parents or with their kids and all of that. To go, no, no, it's okay. I'm in Christ. I'm secure. I'm safe. So in Christ, when we feel our weaknesses, when we feel our failures, in Christ is like the best news that we can have. And then the other side of the coin is not only are we in Christ, but Christ is in us. Right? That's the other side of this gospel news. So look at the last verse here. Union with Christ means that Christ is in you. Very famous. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, this is Paul speaking, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what I think he's saying there is independent Paul died. When I came to faith, the Paul who did things in his own strength and his own wisdom and goodness, that Paul died. He got knocked off his horse, literally, and he died. And now Jesus has entered my life, and he is living through me. I'm still alive, but I'm doing this, he says, by faith. So by faith, by trusting in Jesus moment by moment, it's as if Jesus were living his life through me. Here's the other analogy. This one's not as good as Mickey, but this is all the book's fault, so you don't. So he talks about Spider-Man. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, is this ordinary kid, right? And he goes to some, I think, school, I don't know, the story's changed depending on which movie, but he goes to some school, right, and there's this radioactive spider that bites him, and so he gets this hidden power inside of himself, and he's still an ordinary kid, but with this power inside. And that is the beauty of Christ in me. I'm still a broken person. I still fail, but Jesus, by his Spirit, says to dwell in me, which means that the same Spirit and the same power that raised Christ from the dead is present and available to me moment by moment. I'm still just me, but there's this supernatural presence that is available to us in Jesus Christ, who walks with us daily and can show up and do stuff. I mean, he can still do stuff today, you know, like help me not yell at my kids or whatever. And so for me, what's been on this, on the Christ in me, again, the book talks about this, but there's been this, I've been experimenting with this prayer that I just used throughout the day, and it's called the We Prayer. And all it is like, as I go throughout the moments of my day, rather than asking what should I do next, or, you know, what should I say here, or what shouldn't I say here, it's to ask the question, Jesus, what should we do? What should we do next? Because you're in me, I'm in you, you're present with me, so what should we do? And that you don't have to turn yet, I'll get you there. I see it's coming. That simple prayer throughout the day is impacting me. So for me, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. If any of you are, have you guys all done Enneagram stuff in here? Probably. You're probably bored of it. Yeah, so I'm a 9. So for me, what the We Prayer is getting me to do is like, here's a situation of conflict. Here's my spouse and I or someone at work or a friend. And for me, it's like, Dave would avoid that and withdraw from that. But we would lean into that. And we have been leaning into that a little bit more. And what's great about it is we doesn't mean I have to be anything other than I am. Like, Dave doesn't have to get bigger and smarter and better at stuff. Dave gets to stay Dave, and Jesus fills in the gaps. You know, it's sort of this team approach where, like, I'm horrible at conflict, but I can start it, and then I'm going to trust you to kind of figure it out, you know? And so it's not like this frame of mind where I'm just like, here I go. It's like, no, I suck at this, but we can do this. I mean, we could do just about anything together, you know? Or for me, also vulnerability is emotionally vulnerable. That's hard for me. I like to, you know, just keep it really far down. But we is being more vulnerable in my marriage, some, which has been really good for us, and it's hard for me. And so it's just like, okay, I hate this because I get a little shaky and quivery when I start to cry, and I hate feeling that, but we can do this. And Jesus, you're here, and you'll help me. So that little prayer is really helping me. And I think as moms, in the day-to-day, the We Prayer can be a really helpful thing. All right, so turn your page, and I want to leave you with a couple practices that in the new year, this is what I'm doing each day. And again, you know, take it or leave it. But I have a morning practice and an evening practice. And then throughout the day, the We Prayer is what I'm trying to engage in. So here's the first one, the prayer of recollection. And what this is a morning opportunity to again ground myself in Christ, remind myself that I am in him. And so for me, here's what happens. I wake up and the voices just start shouting, I mean, in my head. And for me, those voices are voices of wanting to be extraordinary. That's one, like, my life needs to be extraordinary. That's a voice that's very deep that drives me in a lot of ways. Wanting to avoid conflict, wanting at the same, you know, to have a harmonious day. So I have all these voices that just, I don't have to try. They're there. And so I have to just decide what I'm going to do with them every morning. And I'm learning for myself that what I do in the first 10 minutes of my day really shapes whether I'm going to listen to those voices or not. So here's kind of, this is not my prayer. This is a prayer that's been around for a long time. So here's the great thing. You can literally take this document and just read this through every morning. I now have this internalized, so I can lay in bed for 5 minutes, my eyes closed, and walk through this. It'll take you about 5 minutes, but here it is. Let's take you through these movements. First, there's just a moment of presenting myself to the Lord. The prayer of recollection, you are recollecting yourself in Christ, right? Because we wake up and we're scattered and we're disintegrated. You are recollecting who you are before the Lord. So, Lord, here I am. I present myself to you. Open my heart to the truth of what is going on in my life. For me, that'll all of a sudden those voices will start coming up and I can, there's that one. But then there's this movement of detaching from that and attaching to Christ. So here's the prayer of detachment. It's simply to open to the truth that in Christ and by means of Christ in you, you have already died with Christ to the old nature that used to live apart from God and to old identities that used to define your life. So here's a prayer that you could offer. Lord, at the core of my spirit, I am no longer defined by success, human approval, control, perfection, or accomplishments. Some of these will be much stronger for you than other ones. Nor am I defined by my failures, sins, fears, and limitations. Nor am I defined by my roles as a mother, spouse, friend, business professional, or any other role. Lord, my core identity is no longer in. And what I normally do is I take my phone when I do this, and I look at my calendar for the day. And I look at my appointments, and I look at what are the temptations going to be? Where am I going to try to find my identity today? Okay, I'm meeting with that person. I really want to impress that person. Or I have a sermon this morning. I really want to impress 300 people. You know, or I'm afraid of this conflict that I'm going to have. So it's looking at it and going, where am I going to be tempted to ground my identity? And I just try to name it. Here it is. I abandon and surrender my attempts to make something in my life today through these identities. You are trying to die to an old self. We're putting off the old person. And then with that, there's this prayer of attachment. Affirm the reality of your true identity in Christ and Christ in you. Lord, I open to the reality that what is most fundamental about me today is that I am in Christ. And this is such good news right here. I am now clothed with Christ's righteousness, with full pardon from guilt and full acceptance from you. In Christ, I am precious in your eyes. I am your beloved. I am secure, and I am empowered for the journey ahead. That is who I truly am. Just take time to sit with that a little bit. And then you can end with this prayer of obedience. Just offer your in Christ self to the Lord today. Lord, may my mind and heart all day open to Christ, who is my life. And may I have the wisdom when the time is right to lay aside the old person and its ways and simply put on Christ. And through Christ dwelling in me by his spirit, I put on his fruits, all the fruits of the spirit there. You can do that in a minute. You could do that in 15 minutes in any kind of way. But it's just this putting off and reminding myself this morning, I'm in Christ. That is most fundamental about me. I'm not a mother. I'm not a spouse. I'm not a friend. I am a child of God because I am in his son, Jesus. Okay? And then I practice the we prayer through the day. All right, Jesus, what are we going to do? Because I'm in you. So how do we do this? Kids are screaming, right? Diapers need changing. I'm exhausted. What should we do in this moment? And then let's look at the last one. And then this is a great prayer or great kind of time to end your day. I would guess some of you are familiar with this. It's called the prayer of examine. There's a great app called Pray As You Go. And that you can actually listen to people lead you through this prayer. But you could just read this. And this is just looking back on the day. Look back on the events of the day in the company of the Holy Spirit. The day may seem like a blur. Probably it will. So ask God to bring clarity. So literally, you just kind of go from the beginning of your day and kind of walk through your day and remember things. And first, review the day with gratitude. Walk through your day in the presence of God and note its joys and delights. Focus on the day's gifts. Look at the work you did and the people with whom you interacted. What did you receive from these people? What did you give them? Notice, I love this, the small things, the food you ate, the sights you saw, and other seemingly small pleasures. Pay special attention to times when you were aware of your identity in Christ. These may be times where you were able to move through the day from a place of security, peace, faith, and love. Where did you especially experience God's grace in your life today? Spend time giving thanks to God for the grace you received from these moments. Again, there's an app, Praise You Go. They'll give you they'll walk you through in 8 minutes a review of your day. But I think you can do this in your own mind. You could journal this. And then the next part is notice a moment of disconnect. Prayerfully identify one moment when you move through the day from a place of disconnection to Christ. It may be helpful to pay attention to your feelings throughout the day, as they are often helpful signals to us. When did you experience feelings of distraction, resentment, anxiety, insecurity, anger, lust, or shame? Where did you fall short of your life in Christ in that moment? Acknowledge that moment to the Lord, but also consider this. In the midst of that challenge, this is important, I think, where was the invitation in that moment to find your identity in Christ? Where was the grace of God for you in that? And where is the invitation in this moment to again be rooted and grounded in God's love for you in Christ? So it's just a way of ending, and then you can entrust yourself to God, a way of ending the day in gratitude and some bit of review of your day to seek, Lord, did I walk this day in you? And I will tell you this, this prayer, which is just gratitude is all it is, it has changed how I view my days. I go through most of my days, and if you'd ask me at 8 p.m., how was your day? I'd be like, it was okay. After I do this, I'm like, today was actually a great day. I had so many sweet little moments, a comment with a friend, a meal I had, this moment out in creation, my kids, these sweet little moments. And oh my gosh, God's grace was present throughout this whole day. I didn't see it. And you know, now I can see it. So I just wanted to invite you into these. I think these are so good, because they're so practical in the daily grind of early parenting. The power is not in these practices, obviously. The power is in Jesus and just connecting with him and trusting him in very practical ways throughout your day. So I hope something in that you can take and actually use and engage in as you go. So I would love to pray with you, pray for you guys. I have a lot of passion about the life stage we're in. And for particular for you guys as moms. So if I could, I'd love to pray with you. Well, Lord, I want to just pray for these women. And I want to pray for the joys and the struggles that they are in right now. Some in the midst of tough marriages, some with tough situations with their kids, some with tough work situations. I pray your spirit would just come alongside them and bless them and encourage them and strengthen them and comfort them. I pray that they might be reminded of the gospel at 2:30 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon, that you are right there with them, that they are in you and that their identity is secure and safe and unshakable, regardless of what happens in that day. And I pray that your spirit, the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, would work in them, giving them strength and courage and wisdom and insight to know how to just engage in the daily challenges of life and parenting, Lord. Would you draw near to them? And I pray that they might, particularly today, just have a fresh experience of the freedom and the forgiveness that we have because we're in you, Jesus. That there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And may we experience that freedom today. And might the forgiveness that you have for them, that they might have that for themselves as well. And for their husbands and their children. And that our homes might be homes that are far from perfect, but that where we're beginning to enter into this experiment in grace, we're beginning to experience your grace, not just as a theological concept, but as a very practical reality in our day-to-day lives. Lord, I pray your grace would be upon them, your face would shine upon them today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for letting me be here.